We'll just kind of go over a little bit of the introduction tonight to 2 Corinthians. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the background or the first chapter or not, but a few things about it. In the very first verse, Paul identifies himself as the human author. I don't know. I may not have turned it on. Oh, no. It says it's on. Yeah. Okay. Better? Now, okay. Yeah, in the very first verse, Paul identifies himself there in the opening as the one who is the human author. He also does that in chapter 10, verse 1 as well. And from what I've read, hardly anyone has ever disputed the fact that this was one of Paul's letters. The date, as we'll see in a minute, was probably somewhere around 56 A.D. And we'll kind of go over the time as to where he was and what led up to it and so forth when we look at the events and dates at the bottom. Written from Macedonia, possibly Philippi, Paul writes to prepare the way for his third visit to Corinth. Titus and two companions deliver the epistle to the church, as we'll see later on in the letter. The city of Corinth, and you've probably heard this before, was a really immoral city. It was a big city, a major city, a city of commerce, but it was very immoral. He says here, Corinth was a center of greed, lust, and debauchery with the goddess Aphrodite, the goddess of the body, underlying the corruption of the city. And later on in the book, or in the first letter, we talk a little bit about how bad things are even with some of the church members. So even with some of the church members, the immorality is really high. So he talks about, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll mention this as being one example. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul writes, beginning in verse 9 of the 6th chapter, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you." So even some of the Christians that were now in the Corinthian church used to be sexually immoral and homosexuals and adulterers and all these other things. So, I mean, this city was a city that was very evil and corrupt, depraved, as one person writes it. So this was not a place you would think would even exist. I mean, in a city this immoral. But it did. And if we go to Acts chapter 18, which is where we learn a lot about the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. I think that's what he wrote there. Now, Acts chapter 18. Let's see. I'm seeing if that's the right one. Let's see. Oh, okay. Yeah. "For I have many people in this city." That's where I couldn't find it. Yeah, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night through a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one shall attack you and hurt you, for I have many people in this city. So the Lord even told Paul that God had I had a lot of people in this city of Corinth, even though the city was as bad as a city could get in the first century. So I think there's a lesson there for us that the church can exist even in, what we would call a terrible place. So it can exist there. So even though it's an evil, immoral city with all kinds of idols and we'll see in a minute about the temple prostitutes and so forth. So it was a place where drinking was really common. And so just a very sinful lifestyle of most people, but still... Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
It also says in the next verse, and he continued there a year and 6 months.
Yeah.
So if he hadn't been able to...
Yeah, he stayed there longer than we know he stayed anywhere. So, I mean, he spent a lot of time there. So, yeah, if he thought it was a lost cause, but he would have got up and left, right? So that's a really, really good point. So if we go down to the history of the church in Corinth, it was established at the end of Paul's second missionary journey about 50 A.D., so let's again go back to Acts chapter 18, and we'll read a little bit about the beginning of the church there. If we go back to chapter 18, verse 1, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. Now, at this point, there isn't a church there yet. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to them, and because he was of the same trade, he remained with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. He lectured in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded Jews and Greeks. So when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul was pressed by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook out his garment and said to them, "Your blood be upon your heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So in Corinth, there were both Jews and Gentiles. It wasn't just a Gentile city. There was a synagogue there. So there had to be a certain number of Jewish males in the city before a synagogue could be there. So there were Jews and Gentiles in the city of Corinth. Then he departed from there and entered the house of a man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. And so there is the start of the church at Corinth, right there. Paul had left Athens, came to Corinth, and had... First of all, went to the synagogue, which was typical for him, tried to persuade the people of a Jewish background to come to Christ, obey Christ, but they opposed him, and so there were some that came and obeyed, and many of them heard, believed, and were baptized. So that's how the church in Corinth began. Right there, kind of its humble beginnings, if you want to call it that. Oh. Here's another one. I got it up here. Yeah. So, there's Paul establishing the church. This is his second missionary journey. If we go down to verse 17 of Acts chapter 18, it says, "Then all the Greeks seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, but none of these things mattered to Gallio." So the ruler of the synagogue apparently was one who was those that was in the beginning of the church as well, and of course he was obviously Jewish. So there were Jews and Gentiles. in the beginning of the church there in Corinth. There was a mix of people who came from backgrounds that hated each other. You know, the Jews and Gentiles hated each other. So when Jews and Gentiles were converted and they all became Christians into one household, one family, then they were all part of the body. So there wasn't now going to be any of this Jew and Gentile. They were just all Christians. So here was quite a mix of people. There was quite a mix of different people that started the church or were the founding members, if you will, of the church in Corinth. After his conversion, Apollos preached and built up the church in Paul's absence. Paul returns to Antioch, and then beginning in verse 24 of Acts chapter 18. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, who was an eloquent man and powerful in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. But being fervent in spirit, he accurately spoke and taught the things concerning the Lord. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him and explained the way of God more accurately. So when Apollos intended to pass Achaia, the brothers wrote to encourage the disciples to welcome him. On arriving, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vehemently refuted the Jews publicly, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper regions and came to Ephesus. Okay, so Apollos stayed at Corinth while Paul was gone, continuing on his missionary journey. So Apollos' job, basically, was to stay in Corinth and help the church grow and build up the church and edify the church and teach the church because, you know, there was quite a mix of Jews and Gentiles that started the church there. So he had a very important work that he needed to do. And as our handout says, he evidently converted many of them. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now and see where this comes from. We're just trying to get a feel now for how the church started and who made up the church and how it grew and if they had any problems. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12 says, this is Paul talking to them. Now this is what I mean. Every one of you is saying, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. So here in the church at Corinth, these people, Paul, Apollos, and so forth, had taught there. Paul had baptized some. Apollos had baptized some. And possibly even Peter or Cephas had something to do with it. So there were converts and enough of them so that there was a, if you want to, not a following, but enough people that were saying, well, we're of Apollos. You know, that was one of the problems at the church at Corinth was division. See, Paul had taught and baptized some, Apollos had taught and baptized some, and so there was this kind of natural tendency for some people to kind of say, hey, I'm a Christian, but Paul was the one who baptized me, so I'm kind of following Paul. And others are saying, no, Apollos taught, baptized me, so I'm following Apollos. And that's one of the things Paul is doing here in the first part of 1 Corinthians, is trying to get them to understand that they're all supposed to be of Christ. There's not supposed to be any division there, and we'll see that, of course, later. All right, reconstruction of events and dates. And again, I don't know how far we'll get with all of this, but we have two recorded letters that we call 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, but there were at least a total of four for sure that were written to the church at Corinth. We only have two of them. All right? How long the others were, of course, we don't know anything about that, but we already talked about Paul's first visit to Corinth, and he remained for 18 months, as we mentioned. He was there for a year and 6 months. So Paul spent a really good portion of his ministry, his preaching and teaching, at Corinth. All right? We also mention that Apollos went to Corinth after he had been at Ephesus. We just read that. In 53 A.D., Paul from Ephesus wrote Corinthians A. This is the one we don't have a record of. Okay? Which dealt with the matter of refusing fellowship to Christians involved in sexual immorality. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, where Paul alludes to this first letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Would someone read that, please? Okay, so he had already written a letter to them that he's referring to. And it was a letter written to the church, and it was obviously written before 1 Corinthians, because in 1 Corinthians he's referring to it in the past tense. He's already done that. So he had already written them a letter, and in this first letter he told them to not keep company with sexually immoral people. He says, "Yet I did not mean the sexually immoral people of this world." And he mentions covetous and so forth. "Since you would then need to go out of the world. But I've written to you not to keep company with any man who is called a brother who is sexually immoral." You know, don't even eat with such a person. So here is, you know, in that first letter, at least one thing. Now, there may have been others, but one thing for sure he told them about was don't keep company, don't associate, don't have fellowship with a brother in Christ who is, as he says, sexually immoral. All right? So, we don't have a copy of that letter. We just know that's about the extent of what we know in that first letter. But it was written to them, and this was written before 1 Corinthians. So that's why he called it Corinthians A, because it was before what we call 1 Corinthians. And again, they were to refuse fellowship to Christians involved in sexual immorality. Then, Paul received a report from Chloe's household concerning division in the Corinthian church. We just mentioned that a few minutes ago. He also received a letter from Corinth asking a number of questions. Okay, let's go back to the first chapter again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul writes, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brothers, by those who are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." So even before he writes 1 Corinthians, some of the members of Chloe's household had written to him or told him about division in the church. So they had already, or he had heard from some of the members there, that there was starting to be a problem with division. Obviously something that needed to be taken care of. We go to chapter 7, verse 1. "Now concerning the things about which you wrote to me." So the Corinthian church had written to Paul before Paul writes 1 Corinthians about a number of questions they had. One of them was about marriage, but there were questions about Lord's Supper. There was questions about all kinds of different things. All right? So, Chloe's household had given Paul a report that there were divisions. Then the church at Corinth had sent a letter to Paul asking him to respond to a number of questions. And part of 1 Corinthians is him responding to those questions. Then, in between 54 and 55 A.D., from Ephesus, Paul wrote Corinthians B, or what we call 1 Corinthians. Okay? So, the second letter that we know of he wrote to the church at Corinth, we call 1 Corinthians. And it's a response to the report he heard from Chloe's household and the letter he had received from Corinth. So, he responds in the beginning of 1 Corinthians to Chloe's report about division. Chapter 1 pretty much nails that down. And then a lot of the rest of 1 Corinthians is him responding to a number of those questions that they had asked him. From the Lord's Supper to marriage to spiritual gifts and all these other different things. So Paul was at Ephesus when he writes this, what we call 1 Corinthians, to them. Then, during about that same time period, Paul then sent Timothy and Erastus into Macedonia. He intended to follow them, but his plan was not carried out since he stayed in Asia for a while. So that didn't happen like he had planned. And of course, Paul's plans were thwarted or changed more than one occasion. Then Paul learned of trouble in Corinth and crossed the Aegean Sea to deal with it. He then returned to Ephesus. Okay. Then when back in Ephesus, Paul wrote the severe letter, or what we call Corinthians C, to the church at Corinth. Okay. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 to see what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 3, Paul says, I wrote concerning this matter to you, that so when I came, I would not be grieved by those in whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is your joy. For out of my much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but you might know the love which I have more abundantly for you. Now, some people think that was 1 Corinthians, that letter. Other people think it was a separate letter. Okay? It doesn't obviously make a whole lot of difference, but anyway, he had written to them in such a way that it was had made them sorrowful. They were grieving because of it. And so it was apparently in some manner a letter that was kind of a rebuke, kind of severe in different ways. So whether it was 1 Corinthians or whether it was a letter he wrote after 1 Corinthians, anyway, it was severe. And either the severe letter was carried by Titus or Paul sent him later to learn how the brethren had received it. Apparently, Titus made his journey across the Aegean Sea to Corinth and was to return by land to meet Paul at Troas. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, Paul writes, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. So taking my leave of them, I went from there into Macedonia. So that's what he's talking about there in those verses. All right. Then Paul left Troas and went into Macedonia where he met Titus, who comforted him with a favorable report about how the Corinthians had responded to his severe letter. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 5, Paul wrote, for when we came to Macedonia, and he had just talked about that, our bodies had no rest and we were troubled on every side. On the outside were conflicts, on the inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us through the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforting you when he told us about your sincere desire, your mourning, and your zeal toward me, so that I rejoiced even more. So, Titus came back with some good news. See, Paul was really conflicted because he didn't know what kind of news he was going to bring back. Had the Corinthian church gotten better? Had the Corinthian church gotten worse? Were they the same? What was going on in Corinth? Obviously, there was no quick way of knowing back then. So Paul had to wait and wait and wait until Titus comes back. And Titus comes back with good news. And Paul says he was comforted by what he heard because the Corinthian church had a sincere desire. They had mourned over their sins, over the things that they had done that Paul had rebuked them for, and about their zeal toward him. And Paul said, it caused me to rejoice. Then, Paul was united with Timothy in Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. So Paul was now back with Timothy. Then Paul wrote 2 Corinthians while he was in Macedonia, which we already just talked about where the Macedonia part comes from. And then Paul finally makes his third visit to Corinth. So if we go back to Acts chapter 20, we begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 20. After the uproar ceased, Paul summoned the disciples and embraced them and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through that region and had greatly exhorted them, he arrived in Greece and stayed there 3 months. When the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Of course, Greece is where Corinth is located. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, toward the end of the letter, Paul writes in verse 14, I am ready to come to you this third time. He says, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek what's yours, but you. All right? So Paul said he was ready to come to them for the third time. So this church at Corinth, when you look at all the time Paul spent there, and all the letters that he wrote to them and their length, there was obviously reasons that Paul spent so much time there. This was a very important location. Paul knew that what happened at Corinth could obviously influence a lot of other churches. So he had to be severe at times. He had to rebuke at times because they had division problems sexual immorality problems and all these other kinds of problems. So he knew he had to take care of it. He couldn't just let it slide. He had to nip it in the bud, so to speak. We'll be looking at these things as we look at 2 Corinthians. It's an intensely personal letter. You'll see a lot of Paul's emotions come out in 2 Corinthians you don't see in any of the other letters. Very, very personal letter. A lot of rejoicing at times, sorrow at times. A lot of it's about his ministry. There's a lot of contrast in it. And, of course, one of the big issues is the defense of his apostleship because some were coming into that area who were claiming to be more authoritative than Paul. And so they were trying to get the Corinthian Christians to listen to them and to forget about Paul. And so Paul has to defend who he is and what he's done in part of the letter. And then also there is an outline of the various things that goes on about the ministry and things that he has to address, things that he talks about to them. And so forth. So we will, Lord willing, actually get into chapter 1 next week. And I will have a handout there where it just kind of gives a little bit of information about the chapter and then a number of questions that you can think about as far as what the chapter is trying to tell you. So, before we have our invitation song, what we're going to find in 2 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians has one of my favorite parts in all the New Testament. Starts in chapter 2, about verse 14, and goes all the way through chapter 6, verse 1. And in that section, Paul talks about what it's really like to be a Christian. Not necessarily what you do as a Christian, but how you're supposed to be as a Christian. In other words, your spirit and your attitude and your disposition and your character and all of these things. What it really means to be a Christian. And it's a marvelous, marvelous section about what a Christian's supposed to be like. It's a great section. I think you'll agree when we get there. Because Christians are to be different than the world. We're supposed to stand out. And so one of the things we're going to learn is in what ways are we supposed to stand out from the world? And it's, like I said, a great section. So if anyone tonight is in need of prayers or in need of coming for asking for forgiveness or whatever it might be, then we want you to do that as we stand and sing this next song.